Today is August 25th, 2014. My name is Robert Joyce. I'm here in Santiago with Mr. Edmundo Perez Yoma, the former Minister of Interior in the Bachelet administration. Thank you, Mr. Yoma, for speaking with us today. Like we've discussed, this is an interview about the presidential transition process in Chile, and perhaps we can start with you describing what that process is like and how it's changed over time. You've served in multiple administrations.
Bien, lo primero que hay que decir es que la transición del gobierno de Bachelet a Piñera era la primera transición que se hacía desde una coalición política a otra.
The first thing I have to say is that the transition from Bachelet to Piñera was the first time that we switched from one coalition to the other.
The first transition, of course, was from Pinochet to Mr. Erwin. But afterwards, we had 20 years with no changes of coalition. So the coalition, the transitions were very easy, and we didn't have any problems, and we didn't no hicimos ningún protocolo anterior de cómo se transmitía de uno a otro, porque finalmente éramos los mismos.
We didn't make any protocol for switching from one to the other, because in the end it was all the same.
Pero sin embargo la transición de desde Bachelet a Piñera representaba algunas dificultades mayores. Primero, la sorpresa de una gran parte de nosotros de haber perdido, cosa que no estaba realmente en los cálculos de los partidos políticos, aunque sí estaba bastante, era bastante probable de que hubiera un cambio después de 20 años, un cambio desde la Concertación hacia la oposición. Pero todavía, la verdad de las cosas, que se esperaba que mucha gente todavía tenía esperanza de que en definitiva nuestra coalición era tan fuerte que podía en definitiva volver a triunfar. Por consiguiente, anterior al triunfo se habían hecho pocos preparativos.
Espérame, se lo voy a ver. So, however, the change from Bachelet to Piñera presented a difficulty in that it wasn't really expected that the change was going to happen. Sort of expected, because this is what happens, but it wasn't quite expected to change.
I had, in some interviews, said that we had to be prepared to either win or lose, which wasn't too received, because I said it during the campaign. So we at the Minister of Interior, we were aware that there was a possibility that we wouldn't win. Our candidates were not very good. And so, but we actually didn't do anything formal to prepare ourselves for that. After the first rounds of elections, we started preparing, and after the second round, we immediately issued a lot of instructions. These instructions being mainly the following. First, the first instruction was that we were going to, Mrs. Bachelet was the first period, the first 4-year period. So it was a very short period. So the first instruction was that we were going to be in charge till the last day. So that was the main headline. Mm-hmm. Second, that from now on, no more hiring or replacements should be done by officials in the government. Third, that no more the contracts, the contrato de empleo,
the employment contracts,
should not be changed at any by any sense, no increases in salaries, no additional contracts, either by fees or by definite thing. Mm-hmm. So as to avoid any criticism that we were trying to leave our people all over the place. Thirdly, we insisted that each ministry should, first we should await for Mr. Pineda to appoint his team. Once his team was appointed and consolidated, we would start meetings minister to minister, acting minister to designated minister. Mm-hmm. These meetings should be as formal as possible. The new ministers, the designated ministers, should receive a complete carpet folder with everything. Not what we have done, but mostly what was in process. Legislation in process, studies made towards the legislation, and full account of una cuenta total de todo lo que se estaba haciendo, lo que quedaba por hacer.
The full account of what had been done and what was still to be done.
We tried to convince every minister not to engage in convincing the other minister. Mm-hmm. Or just be as formal as possible, saying this is the actual the actual state of things. These are things that we are going to do from here to March 11th, and what's pending in Congress, what laws are pending in Congress, and these instructions were given writtenly and by me. Not only, but I had a lot of meetings with the people, with the different ministers to try. Many of them were very compliant, and some of them were not too convinced. Before that, it was very important. My instructions were that we were to spend the proportionate amount of money from January to March, mm-hmm. not over execute the budget or under execute the budget. And I think that those were the main instructions.
As Minister of the Interior, what is your formal role in the transition process?
The post of Interior Minister in Chile is a very complex one, and depends very much on the person who is the minister. Some ministers of the Interior focus more the work on security, criminality, mm-hmm. Police work, and others are more focused on politics, being actually the head of the cabinet. Mm-hmm. I was chosen and asked by the President Bachelet to be the former, to be head of the cabinet, and as such I had authority. Moral, not only formal authority, but moral authority also to intervene with all the ministers. Mm-hmm.
So it was under this authority that you can issue instructions on the transition. Okay. when the planning process started to leave office, so I suspect around the first round of elections, what did you think the main challenges would be to prepare your administration to leave?
My main challenge, what I was really worried about, was that we should be as transparent as possible, and that we should be open with the new government, but at the same time make it clear to them that we were not going to co-govern. Mm-hmm. We were going to be in charge of the country till the morning of March of 11. This is what I conveyed to the ministers of Piñera, to Mr. Piñera himself, and to my people.
In your view, what are the responsibilities of an outgoing government to the incoming government?
To make things as easy as possible for the new government.
Did political tensions make this process more difficult? The election was very close in 2010. It is a new right-wing coalition coming in.
Not really. I suppose that in some ministries there would have been tensions because of personalities, mm-hmm. personality conflicts. But in general, it was kind of an easy progress because the ministers designated by Mr. Piñera had no experience, government experience at all. Mm. So they were very eager to learn. They were very eager to be in charge as soon as possible. And you could notice them that for them the being government was something very new to them. And they many times they would seek for advice, mm-hmm. Which we were glad to give it to them.
How did you draft these instructions that you gave? Did you look at previous examples? Did you look at other countries?
No.
How did you decide what these instructions were?
They were kind of common sense. Huh?
Right.
They were just common sense instructions.
Right.
And Mrs. Bachelet said, "You do whatever you think is right."
She was completely. She liked the process. Mm-hmm. No, I was not running on my own.
Right.
I had the full support of the president. Mm-hmm. We wanted to make a good example of that. The other government. The other coalition should not have the problems we had when we inherit the government from the Pinochet regime, which were many,
right.
Very difficult.
Could you explain how that experience in 1990 possibly influenced how transitions worked afterward?
Difficult. I wasn't there.
Okay.
I wasn't there. But the problem was Mr. Pinochet drafted I don't know how many executive orders, I don't know how many last minute laws that really kind of
amarró
lo más posible, dejó mucha gente contratada, dejó plantas ejecutivas, por ejemplo. Uh-huh. De las alcaldías, nadie podía despedir a nadie, mucha gente con contratos que no se podían revisar, mucha gente que no se podía echar. Entonces fue un proceso enteramente distinto a esta, muy difícil, porque el general Pinochet trató de dejar lo más amarrado posible y que nosotros tuviéramos la menor cantidad de posibilidad de movimiento en los primeros años, hasta que lográramos desarmar lentamente todo el aparataje.
So that he left it the most tied up possible. Everything was kind of bound up. It was very difficult to fire people. And he had planted all these people in different places right at the end, so then we couldn't get rid of them. So it's a totally distinct process. He really left us the most tied up he possibly could, and bit by bit we went about undoing what he had done.
For example, in the municipalities, he passed a law that that nobody could be fired.
In any of them.
Till now. There's still people working in the municipalities that are from the Pinochet regime.
Wow.
Every municipal employee was by law.
It was impossible to fire him. Dismiss him.
That's one example of many.
Uh-huh.
How was the process of preparing to leave office in 2010 different than if Constitución had won?
In what way was different? Well, before we go into that question, this process, is transition progress in 2010, was going very smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
No problems, we had no conflicts, most of the small things that were resolved. If there was some problem, they would come to me and we would try to resolve it. But one of the main instructions was I didn't want to have too many meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want a new minister to be at the ministry for weeks. My recommendation was to give them as much meetings as they wanted, but with a schedule, with temario, so to avoid all the policies. This went very smoothly till the earthquake.
Right.
From the earthquake on, this process, I think, was completely paralyzed.
Okay.
Everybody was... in Chile, earthquakes are very often, but we always know them by the Valdivia earthquake, or the Tocopilla earthquake, or the Puerto Bon earthquake, or whatever. This one was so big, and covered such a extension of the country that we couldn't call it any name like that. We had to call it 27F. It was strong in Santiago, strong in Chillán, strong in Talcahuano, Concepción, the whole from here to the south, almost beyond Concepción, was completely destroyed. So there was no way. All the efforts, my efforts, were to keep the country going, avoid looting, avoid things. And that continued because the earthquake kept all the way to the inauguration day. I was by my post, I was between the President of Argentina, Prince Philip of Spain, and and the whole thing was shaking away. Yeah. This dignities that were not just say, what the hell's going on? What are we doing here?
Right. Why did we come here?
Why do we come here? So you have to be very aware that this process was almost completely disrupted by this. At that time, all I wanted to have all my people working on the health minister, worried about the health issues, and the public works minister, and so on. And so on.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, but before the earthquake.
Before the earthquake was very smooth.
How? The things that were happening, the meetings that were going on, your instructions, What would your instructions have been if Mr. Frey had won, for example?
None.
So how would it have... You were involved in previous transitions.
Sure, I was minister with Frey, so I came in from... I was Minister of Defense in 1994, okay, with Mr. Frey. I stayed with Mr. Frey the whole 6 years. It was an interlude of a year that I went to Argentina as an ambassador. Then from Mr. Frey to Mr. Lagos, nothing else. And I saw the guy who came after me,
right.
Said, hello, how are you?
Yeah.
Have a cup of coffee.
Right.
This is six.
Right. And you would informally
inform you everything.
Yeah.
And same from Lagos to Bachelet.
Okay.
I came in the middle. I came into the governor of Mr. Bachelet at midterm. So the first time we really had to do all this was 2010.
So you mentioned some small sort of problems would come up and be resolved
but
during this process.
I don't even remember which one. Okay. No. They were very small. No,
very small.
No problems.
How did you, because you said that some ministers weren't too convinced.
Well, I don't know if that's the right expression, but some of them, they knew they had to do it, but they were people are different, and from different parties. We had radicals, socialists, social democrats, the Christian Democrats, and you have different personalities. Some were very too open, and others were too closed. But that was no more than that.
Okay.
So how did you convince these more closed people that it was a good idea to work with the Piñera administration?
By telling them that if we didn't do that, we would have to spend the first 6 months resisting an attack from the acting minister then.
Right.
That he was informed of this, he wasn't informed of that, that this happened because we didn't give him enough information, that he found a ministry full of surprises, and it was in, my main argument was telling them, look, it's in your benefit to inform everything. I'm reading, so to avoid that the new minister can have any excuse by saying, well, look, this surprised me, I wasn't expecting this, and it worked quite well.
So were these were, you know, briefings prepared in a book?
Yes.
And handed to the new minister?
Right.
Wow.
Exactly. And some ministers were volumes.
Right.
Things.
Right. So you know, personally handed something over to your incoming? Very little? Okay.
No, because, of course, the security department, immigration department, specific, because the Ministry of the Interior is very big here.
Right.
But in the political stuff, I had a good rapport with the one who was going to replace me.
Right.
So we talked. He came to my house a couple of times. And we talked a lot. But in the specifics, for example, immigration, we give him the security department will give you this and this and that, but the political thing, well, we were in disagreement, so
there was
not much to.
What were these, from what you know, what were these meetings like with the incoming Piñera ministers? Were they cordial? Were they?
They were mostly cordial.
Okay.
I don't remember anybody telling me that they had a clash or anything. Mainly, I think, because of the eagerness of the new ministers, because they really were very surprised that they had won, and very surprised that they were going to be in charge of the government. So they were just very eager to receive all the information, whatever you could tell them
Was there any sort of, maybe not at the minister level, but with the lower levels of staff?
Probably so.
Yeah, so...
Probably so.
What makes you say that?
Just common sense.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
common sense. Probably right. so. I, it was never reported to me, anything right. like that.
Okay, but it probably...
Yes.
Probably happened.
It probably happened, yes. Especially the lower the level,
right.
the more the problems.
Right. Is that for political reasons, would you say? Or
yeah.
Yeah. They didn't want to work with a new right-wing coalition.
Right.
Okay.
And there were also, many of them, very wary to be accused of collaboration, too much collaboration.
Mm. Okay.
Well, they were trying to
okay.
congregate themselves to the new government.
Okay.
So they had that duality, you know? And they had to show themselves that they were different.
Right.
At the same time. Some of them would be, some of them I think they even wanted to maybe can stay.
Right. Right.
You know.
So from the top levels, how do you manage those sort of tensions?
I didn't.
No.
No.
Okay.
The instructions were very clear, they knew
right.
that if we would be aware of that, we would sanction them, but so everything was kept quiet. So
did you?
Nobody was interested in escalating any conflicts.
Right. Okay. Do you think you found any challenges in getting your staff and getting the staff at the ministries, other ministries, to follow these instructions? You're out of government. You're heading out of government. They probably don't have a job in a couple of weeks with you. How do you get them to follow your orders?
Persuasion.
Yeah.
Persuasion. First of all, we had to get, and this the president was very clear on that when mm-hmm. we gathered in a cabinet meeting. The instructions of the president were clear. Mm-hmm. I was in charge to make them clearer to
right.
the ministers, and I knew which ministers would be a little bit more reluctant to us, so I would talk to them a little bit more, ask them how things were going, but actually we no conflict that I can remember.
Right.
But probably at the lower level, yes.
Right.
Yes. But that it would surprise me
right.
if it were.
Right. Right. Besides the earthquake, was there anything that you didn't expect that would be a problem that came up as a problem?
Oh.
No.
No. Not really. Because the attitude of Piñera at that time was actually trying to keep as much people of our people as possible
okay.
in the government. I think that was a say. Well, we will, of course, we are going to get rid of many things, but there's some guys that are necessary for the new government to keep them. So there was. I don't think there was a big threat. The people before the assumption of Piñera, that changed very early, very early afterwards. But before that, Piñera's assumption, that wasn't the case. Piñera didn't say, well, now we're going to change, this is a new government,
right.
We're going to erase everything.
Right.
He didn't say that.
Right.
So, in that sense, he has a part of the. Hay que reconocerle también a él que no creó un ambiente tenso.
You have to recognize him that there wasn't a tense environment.
Okay.
But knowing him, he, from time to time, he kind of exceeded himself, but like he's doing now.
Right.
That's his personality.
Was there a tension within the government and within the coalition maybe to persuade people to not stay with Piñera?
There were both things.
Okay.
We didn't want the political parties didn't want any of your los más sobresalientes de ellos, de los más conocidos.
The most outstanding and the most well known.
Okay.
To stay in the government.
Okay.
But they wanted to, for many people, because they knew that there were going to be a lot of unemployment, but they were kind of turning a blind eye on the guys who wanted to stay.
Okay. Especially at the lower levels.
Especially at the lower levels.
Right. Okay, so from the time the earthquake strikes, it's February 27th. Your response.
Would you like some water?
Sure.
Sure. Thank you.
Don't try three vasitos de agua.
Yeah.
Repeat, please.
Sure. So the earthquake strikes on February 27th. You're immediately working on the response, stopping looting, a whole bunch of processes around the country need to happen. How does the crisis complicate your cooperation with the transition?
First, because Piñera went into an active mood.
Right.
He wanted to be, he would call me and say, look, this is happening, you should do this, you should do that, and start. And so that, so we had to kind of cut off his. But there were some people in the army and the navy. And the Air Force that were already looking towards it was only 8 to 10 days away.
Right.
So they were aware when Piñera would call them. They were. So I noticed that our relations with the armed forces at that were not the same as before the earthquake.
Really?
That made some things that happened afterwards the earthquake more difficult.
Were they more hesitant to follow your orders? Did they also want to follow orders coming from Piñera?
They were. They didn't say it. They don't. Right. But actually, the commander in chief of the army was already. That was. Ending his period, he was already signed by Piñera to be his undersecretary for the armed forces.
Okay.
So his loyalty were quite divided at that time. But still, he followed, but not as we would not exchange.
Right. So, how did you keep the Piñera administration informed of the response efforts? Of what the government was doing to respond?
None whatsoever.
Why not?
Because of this.
Okay.
Because it was too much activism by them. All what they have done up to the earthquake changed after the earthquake. They wanted, they got into an active mode. They said, well, we are going to have to deal with this. We want to know what's going on. We want to act. And then it was difficult.
So you would describe relations with the Piñera administration as maybe positive before the earthquake?
Very and then, positive.
And then after?
And non-existent.
After?
After.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's
except in the except in the foreign ministry.
Okay.
Because they had to keep up working and all the people that were going to come and all.
Right.
All the things related, the ambassadors, all the things related to the ceremonies and stuff like that.
But you would say in most, if not all, other ministries?
Inexistent. As far as mine, for example?
No.
So prior to the earthquake, you were talking with your counterpart often?
Afterwards, I kept a good relations. with the Mr. the name is, but but no, I had to. I was working 20 hours a day. I wasn't available to talk about, you know, the weather or anything like that.
Right.
I hardly had time for to sleep.
Right. It's part of the transition process in Chile is that the Undersecretary of Interior takes office before the rest of the government.
Right.
How did that process start? How did that evolve?
That's a long time tradition.
Right.
Even we did it even in the Pinochet regime.
Right.
It's amazing. The day before, huh?
Okay. It's only the day before.
Only the day before.
Okay.
Only the day before. Just so that because you're sworn into office, so the guy who received your oath is the undersecretary.
Okay.
That's the reason for it.
Okay. So it's not because he starts working right away.
No.
It's just to be able to have the new person to swear in the new people. Okay.
But he, theoretically, he is part of the last government.
Right.
And he has all the authority over the police, everything.
So. Mm-hmm.
Did this person, when this person came in, the new undersecretary, was he given briefings on the recovery efforts, on the
everything, going
on, everything?
Because at that time, I guess he came. We had a lot of things to for him to do.
Right.
And he was going to be in charge of security and in charge of a lot of things since the day he was there. So
right.
He worked a full day with me.
Right.
But I didn't see him. I said hello to him.
Did you, your undersecretary at the time was Mr. Rosende?
Rosende.
And did you give him instructions to cooperate?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay.
That part has always worked well, huh? Under Pinochet.
Right.
Even under Pinochet. I don't know why, but
it just works well.
It just works.
So could you explain what happens on Inauguration Day? You work right up until the last moment, or do you stop before, or what happened in 2013?
The tradition here is that you leave your office the day before.
Okay.
These things usually are the morning.
Right.
You have to go to Valparaíso because Mr. Pinochet gave us the Congress in Valparaíso. So you go to the La Moneda in the morning, last picture, something like that, one of those things like that.
Right.
You have your last picture there.
Right.
And then you drive all the way to Valparaíso. And the minister goes before, and then the president arrives, usually by one of these chairs or something like that. And the president arrives in the chair with the minister of the interior.
Okay.
With me in this case. And the president comes in last. And while we were in the chariot going to, we had a 7 or 8 degrees, 7 point something earthquake while we were.
Wow.
Wow.
And then another one, we were inside. So the president gives the symbols of power to the other president. She goes out with her ministers. Well, the new president with the undersecretary, they go to the new ministers. The old ministers go out, and some of them, a little populistic, will take a taxi home. And
right.
Others will have their wife waiting for
them.
And others will just have their old chauffeur bring them home.
Right.
It's just whatever fits. But that's a process. That's it. No more.
And the new minister comes in, and in this case, there's an ongoing crisis going on, and Piñera, there was a scene where Piñera instructs his Minister of Interior to go out because there's another aftershock, right, in the building, and he tells his minister to go out and deal with the earthquake.
Right there begins the
right
the downfall of Mr. Piñera, saying that doing a lot of things that we are not used to.
So when you issued your instructions on how to leave office for everyone, would you describe your instructions and that process as a success?
Yes.
Very
much so.
And by what criteria would you judge that?
Because nothing that we feared that could happen was stuck. So they couldn't say, well, we didn't know that. We found that they have overspent, or we found that this thing was that right. They told us was there. That's by that criteria.
Okay. So none of the...
No surprises.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Yeah.
Can I go back to the earthquake for one more second?
Sure.
So I'm sure that Chile is very good at dealing with earthquakes, and you have lots of protocols and things like that for when there's a big emergency. So you were saying that you were working 20 hours a day, you barely had time to sleep. Does the government bring in any extra people when there's something like this? And were there any people from the new government who sort of came in to help with emergency management, emergency relief stuff?
No.
Okay.
So when President Bachelet left office, she was very popular. The high popularity.
About 80%?
Yeah. So that's very popular.
I don't know if we've ever had that.
Yeah. So when, on the day that Piñera is taking office, they're already talking about President Bachelet running again, and she did, and she won. Was Mrs. Bachelet's popularity and possibly her political future a factor in the transition?
Good question. I haven't thought about it.
Yeah.
It helped, I think Bachelet's popularity helped with the sensation that the Piñera government was going to be a one-time government.
Mm-hmm.
That we were not going to have a two or three right-wing governments. That Mr. Piñera was an exceptionality, something like that. I think in that sense, it worked like that. So, eso hizo que los partidos tampoco se sintieran tanto la derrota, pero también hizo un proceso de que no apareciera una figura, uh-huh. que se pusiera una tapa sobre la aparición, porque era tan obvio que la presidenta Bachelet iba a ser la próxima candidata. Que como que la política de la concertación y todo entró como en un paréntesis.
Okay. ¿Ah? So it was this made it so that the outgoing government didn't feel that it was that bad that they were leaving power. That concertación, it was just a parenthesis in their continued rule.
And that would make it easier to prepare to hand government over, right? You can tell a minister, listen, just prepare these books, and we'll be back in a couple of years.
Right. Well, that's what I said when I left the minister for the United States. Is please take care of this place. We're coming back in 4 years.
Okay.
Okay. So, on that note, so different people have told us different things. What you were saying is that, you know, it's in our interest to make a really good transition because we don't want the new government to be attacking us and saying they did this and they did this and they did
this.
Some other people have said, no, like the best interest was less about an attacking thing, less to prevent attacks, than because it was, as a public servant, we were serving democracy, and this is the change of power is evidence of a healthy and mature democracy.
Both things.
Both things.
Both things.
And then the third thing we've heard is what you just said. We've heard that from other people too. Like, we'll be coming back, so you know, we have to leave everything in order. Okay.
And we want to have the same process.
Right. So do you think any of those three things were primary? Or do you think they were all about the same?
They were all the same.
Okay.
And you said that it's also because we want the same process. We want them to treat us like that when we come back and take office. obviously, we're sitting here. You're not in government right now. But from what you know, was this past transition in 2014 as well handled as how you managed it?
I think it was. But some ministers complained that... But I think in the long term, it was quite good. There was a lot of complaining at first, but mostly, if you think about it, they're complaining of bad management, and not that the transition was bad, necessarily bad.
And this time it was handled by the Ministry of the Secretary General of the Presidency, rather than the Interior?
I don't know.
Okay.
In Piñera's government, nobody handled anything except Piñera.
Okay.
He was omnipresent.
Right. Omnipresent. So like I mentioned at the beginning, a large part of these interviews is to help other countries, you know, build their own processes and their own institutions. Knowing what you know now about how the transition worked out, is there anything that you would have done differently, given the exact same circumstances? A right-wing coalition coming in, a major national crisis, the earthquake. Is there anything that you would have changed from what you did in 2010?
The only thing that would change would be, or we have already changed, is the protocol to handle emergencies by the president.
Okay. Is there, from those instructions that you gave and the meetings you held and the things you did to manage the transition, is there anything that you would have done differently?
No.
What advice would you give to a Minister of Interior facing a transition similar to the one that you handled?
I think it's in the best interest of them to be as transparent as possible. Because right in this age and time, to try to hide things or obscure them or anything, it just doesn't work. Works maybe for a couple of months, 2 months, but sooner or later. So the best thing is, look, this is what's going on here. The problems we face are this and that. Because if not, the other guy said, look, I found myself with a crisis in I don't know where, and nobody told me anything.
Right. Do you have any advice you would give to another country you've served in multiple governments, you have a long experience? Would you have any advice to another country trying to build up these processes and trying to build a political culture in which you hand power over respectfully?
Okay. Por ejemplo, I live in El Salvador, y tuvimos we had an election a few months ago, and it was very... nobody was nice to each other at all. It was very bad. And I think nobody's working together now. So what sort of advice would you give to build rapport, to make them...
I think that what you have to do, especially when you're handing it to a coalition, is to really make an offer to think not about your interest, but of the interest of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And keep saying that over and over and over again. So, look, we can have maybe a partial success in our politics. Maybe we will gain two, three points in opinion polls. But in the end, this is not going to be good for the country. So, we lost. Politics about winning and losing. So this time, it was our time to lose. So, but the country has to go on. make it as little as less painful for this transition to be. That would be my only advice. Mm-hmm. But you have to keep mind all the time, because sometimes you get mad and Pinheiro will say things that will make me
right.
And then I go, no.
Calm down.
Because in the end that would be an obstruction, and we wanted to the country to continue growing.
Right. We've heard in lots of interviews this sort of sense of collaboration, that you have to work together for the country's interests. Why do you think that sentiment is so strong in Chile? Why do you think it works so well here?
The gente spirit.
Could you explain what you mean?
The country where we learn.
So Chile rewards this cooperation politically.
Rewards cooperation for politicians completely.
And do you think the young people are going to assimilate that attitude?
That we have to see. Mm-hmm. Huh? but up to now, yes. Some of them, well, we have always the anarchist groups, and there's always in Chile, there's always been in every government a very left-wing anarchist group operating in Chile, always.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes up and down, up and down, it's always there. Always there. And those guys,
Right.
But the majority,
the majority will reward political compromise.
Okay. I think that's all we have
for you. Well, good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for speaking with us.